Good morning. My name is Barbara Fote, and I am here to welcome you. So welcome to University Church. It's a little cool in here, but you know what? If we snuggle up together, it will be warm. We don't have service for our boiler after May 1st because it's supposed to be lovely outside and warm, and the sun shining through those windows always makes it really warm over there. So we're not quite there, so just snuggle up and we'll all do some extra warmth through the service and greeting and care for each other to make all of that work. We have restrooms and childcare out here. There's a gathering room in the back where we will have some time for opportunity for chatting and all afterwards. There is an abbreviated order of worship here, and if you just take a peek at that, a couple of changes today. We won't have the contemporary reading, so don't think someone forgot that. And after the time of prayer and before the lives change, yes, we will have communion. We always do that on First Sunday, and that just didn't get in there. There will be T-shirts for sale in the gathering room afterwards, and Anne is right here. She's holding up her hand if you would like a T-shirt, and Kelly and Lynn are modeling them, or Lynn and Kelly, as the case may be, are modeling them. I have to get my contacts adjusted. The red T-shirts and maybe some polo shirts, I'm not sure if those are there. Also on your bulletin are a number of activities. Take a note at that mom and dad photos. Oh, Jim's going to model. Thank you, Jim. Jim is going to model the polo shirts. Very nice. But the hats don't come with them, right? Photos of your mom and dad or people who had mothering or fathering skills for you that will be on the screens for Sunday, so we might honor them. I think that's a wonderful tradition. Also, Symphoria's Youth Orchestra, the Society for Music, and the Centner School are having a young composer's pop-up concert. It is at 7 tomorrow, right here at University Church. Free, open to the public, a wonderful opportunity to see what the next generation has in mind in the future of music. So it's a young composer's pop-up concert tomorrow at 7 right here. There's plenty of other opportunities, missions, and ministries that are going on that I would call your attention to look at later. Please now grab your yellow slip that should be in your bulletin. Looks like this. We would love to know that you are here. I can get looks like this. So if you wouldn't mind putting your name, and if you're new, we'd love to have some contact information for you. And then on the flip side, there's an opportunity to write a prayer request, if you would like that prayed aloud during the service. If you do have a prayer request, we'll collect those. And if not, then just save this till the offering time and drop it in the offering plate then. I think that's pretty much, even though I didn't bring my cheat sheet, most of what I was supposed to tell you. Again, welcome, stay warm, and let's continue our worship.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood. I am honored to say that I am the pastor here at University United Methodist Church, and I would like to send out a warm welcome to each and every one of you here. Welcome. And I'm so glad you made it through the mountain goat race, right? Did you have a hard time getting here? Yeah, a lot of people did. Some did, some didn't. So this is the season in the church of year called Eastertide. It is the 50 days between Jesus' resurrection on Easter and the commissioning of Jesus' followers by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We'll be looking for answers in the Bible from the Gospel of John and from the Acts of the Apostles and from Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. You can see that we've added some props up here from the book this week to help us imagine all the places God might be leading us. As Dr. Seuss helps us understand, we just don't know where we will end up. The key is to keep trying. In this week's scripture, Paul believes that he is called to persecute the Jesus followers, even to the point of killing them. But then Jesus interrupts on the road to Damascus, and a new path appears. In fact, it is a complete about-face. The song that we will use throughout Eastertide to focus our decisions and direction is Christ Be Our Light. As Paul found out in a blinding flash on the road to Damascus, Jesus is indeed the light that helps us find our way. We'll listen to the choir sing the refrain this week, and then we'll all sing the hymn after the call to worship.
Good morning. Eastertide focuses us on the ramifications of the resurrection. It helps us understand overcoming, putting the past behind us, and embracing each new day with the wonder and the excitement of the empty tomb. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in our responsive call to worship. Here we are, God. Some are filled with joy and excitement, others with sorrow and despair. Some are filled with energy. Some are filled with love for you, for they feel far from you. We are the gathered congregation. We lay ourselves before you with all the honesty. We give you what we are. Fill us with your spirit in this hour of worship. And as Alicia said, we will keep singing the refrain throughout Eastertide, but this morning we're going to sing the full hymn, and so please remain standing and join with me in singing Christ Be Our Light.
Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church gathered today. Longing for peace, our world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. Your word alone has power to save us. Make us your living voice. Christ, be our light. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church gathered today. Many the gifts, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to belong. Let us be servants, one another, making your kingdom come. Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light. Shine in your church gathered today.
And before you settle back into your seats, I want to tell you that our song to welcome the children, the song we sing when the children come up front, is new to us. But it is a favorite of our music director, Amy, up above there. So you can just follow her lead. And now, please, take the time to connect with the people around you. And when you hear the music, it is time to return to your seats with children coming forward. Thank you.
Will the children please join me up front as they're comfortable?
Lead me, Lord, lead me, Lord, by the light of truth, to seek and to find the narrow way. Be my way, be my truth, be my life, my Lord, and lead me, Lord, today.
How are you? Good morning. You want to sit up here? Great. So, has anyone ever seen anything by Dr. Seuss? Have you seen Dr. Seuss? Okay. So, Dr. Seuss, I thought that many of his books were written in the 1960s, but the Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss was written way back in the 1990s. So it was quite a while ago. And so I want to show a little bit about the book so we can get to know this book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Okay, so let me tell you about this story. So this book by Dr. Seuss is about a boy or a girl who is done with, I think, school, but it doesn't really say that this child is done with school. And then this child goes off into the world. And so when we go off into the world, there's all kinds of things that happen to us. But this person has gotten all that they need because they've learned everything that they need and they have the gifts that they need and they're off into the world. And when they go out into the world, things happen. And sometimes when things happen, we're happy they happen. And sometimes we have to recalculate, as Siri would say, right? Right? Keisa said, yep. So I know this for sure, that all of you sitting here have the resources you need to make things deal with things when they happen, because you have your faith, you have Jesus to talk with, you have your family and friends, but you also have this church family as well. And this church family is here for all of you. So know when things happen, and we know they're going to happen, that we are with you along the journey. So I want to ask you questions, but since there's only three of you, I don't want to put you on the spot. but things do happen. Can we say things happen in our lives that are unexpected? Yes, yes. Okay. So will you pray with me? All right. Loving God, we are so grateful that you are with us in all the places that we go. Be with us in the good things and not so good things, and even when things are just okay. We are grateful for all that you are and all that you will be when we need it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks for sitting with me, and you can go sit with whoever brought you today. You know what? I forgot about this. Does anyone who was up here at children's time want to help me with something? You want to help me? Okay. So we are going to recognize our college graduates, those who are going to be graduating from college in like a week, I think. And I believe that person is sitting over here. Zoe Failey, would you be willing to come up? Awesome. So, and you guys just wait right here, okay? You can help me in a second. So Zoe, you probably get this all the time, but Zoe is Phoebe's sister.
I am, yes.
Yes. And so Zoe has come. She is one of our friends that was at James Street and then has come here. So congratulations
Thank
on graduating.
You.
It's been a long road, right?
Yes.
So what we'd like to do is pray over you, and then we have a special gift for you. So hang on, I'm going to go get the gift. Oh, you got it. Why don't we have this little guy give her the gift? Would you be willing to give our graduate a gift? Would you be willing to give that to our graduate from the church? He might think it's hard. All right, Keiza, how about you do it? Will you give her the gift in a minute? All right. So, Zoe, we just want you to know that we are here with you, and that the church family is always here for you. And I know that you have been in college and haven't visited us a lot, but know that we are here for you along with, I know, your regular family and stuff. So I don't know if you guys want to, but if you'd like, you can put your hand on her back, if you'd like, because we're going to pray over her. All right? Come on over, Bar. Okay, we good. All right, here we go. You ready for this? It's going to be good, and it's going to send you off with a bang. God of truth and knowledge, by your wisdom, we are taught the way and the truth. Bless Zoe as she now finishes her course of study. We thank you for Zoe, for those who taught her and worked beside her, and all who supported her along the way. Walk with Zoe as she moves forward in life. Take away her anxiety and confusion of purpose. Strengthen her many talents and skills. Instill in her confidence in the future you plan, where energies may be gathered up and used for the good of all people, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you ready to take on the world now?
I think
awesome.
So.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I graduated.
And so this is the church's gift to you, and I hope that you find a great place for it. And you're welcome. And also, I forgot to mention this, that Zoe actually preached at James Street once for me.
Yes.
So yeah, I just remembered that as we hugged. I remembered your great sermon. So congratulations, Zoe. Thank you, helpers.
Arise, O sun, and shine, behold thy saving light, and prosper in the heart, to spread the glory of light, and healing streams of mercy flow that all the earth and broken
you. Our scripture this morning is from the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, relates to the story of Paul's conversion. Paul had been one of the most persistent persecutors of the Jesus followers, so they had a hard time believing that he was now on their side, more doubting, just like Thomas last week. I'll be reading verses 1 through 20 from the New Revised Standard Version translation, and listen to how Paul's mission changed. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voices but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now, there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. And then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning again. Wow, so Saul's conversion is pretty dramatic, isn't it? Wow, Saul went from thriving on persecuting Christians to calling Jesus Lord. This conversion is quite dramatic in that Saul loses his sight, is taken into town, is healed by a stranger, a disciple of Jesus, and his name is changed to Paul. It is written that he will bring the Gentiles to Christ, and Paul does. Paul begins house church after house church, converting many, many, many. I'm sure the day Saul woke up, he did not know his life would be so dramatically changed. And as I was listening to Beth speak, I thought about Ananias' story as well. He didn't wake up and think he was going to go lay hands on the man who was persecuting the Christians. His world was turned upside down as well, and he just trusted. Can we click? Oop, might not be on. There we go. So it seems our lives are not always what we plan them to be. Paul's certainly was not. We grow up thinking it will be, or we will be, or do something quite often that is not what we end up being or doing. Sometimes we grow up and do exactly what we think we're going to do, but for some reason it doesn't seem like what we thought it would be. We might not find purpose, or it might not be as fun or fulfilling as we might think. Some of us have had several journeys in our one lifetime. I know I have. We have had many careers or roles within our one life. We have remade ourselves into a new thing over and over and over. We go on unexpected journeys throughout our lives. As Dr. Seuss describes, out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and footsy as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. Well, this week I started thinking that I haven't told my story in a while, and some folks might not have heard my story. So today I'm just going to share a little tiny bit of my story, and then in the coming months I'll share a little bit more as we go along. So I'm going to tell you about one chapter in my book, and that includes that at age 32 I was suddenly widowed. My daughter was 8 years old at the time when her dad died. Of course, this shaped our lives dramatically for the next few years, and it has shaped our lives ever since. My experience also includes loving family members who struggle with eating disorders, addictions, and with mental illness. So last week, someone asked me, "How do you stay so positive? You have had so many challenges." And my short answer was, well, stuff happens. But I have to say, I didn't say stuff. Stuff happens, and we get to decide how to live. I love the saying, make lemonade out of lemons. But I found this quote that describes my feelings even better. There is a tension that God is asking me to acknowledge and accept, the tension between ideals and realities. True joy is found by living somewhere between the ideal life and daily realities. That is where Jesus meets me, where his Holy Spirit empowers, and where I learn to live. And this is a quote by Sally Clarkson in a book, Seasons of a Mother's Heart. Let's remember, we have resources. We have Jesus. We have our family. We have our church family. And wherever we go and whatever we do, let's remember we are a Christ follower. It's easy to get grumpy when things don't go our way. But we are able to talk and meet Jesus along the way. Saul, or Paul, was forever changed by the meeting at Damascus with Jesus. Paul lived his life forever changed by that conversation, conversion, and meeting. As we live our lives, stuff happens, and we are made new whether we want to or not. Over and over, let us keep in mind, people we will know we are Christ's follower by our love. Today we gave Zoe a quote in a frame attributed to John Wesley. It says, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." So this goes for Zoe, but this goes for everyone sitting here and everyone outside of this place. Let us all, no matter what happens, where we are in life, remember, stuff happens, and we will be okay because we have the brains and the feet, just like Dr. Seuss says. And, oh, we also have this great meeting place with Jesus wherever and whenever we need him. Amen.
We are all on roads. Roads that are crowded with traffic and noise and flashing images of electronic billboards. And sometimes it's not easy to see through the competing images that come at us. Not easy to hear Jesus above the racket. But he still bids us to listen to his love, to his compassion, to his promise. And I now invite you to please stand and join in singing "View the Present Through the Promise." And you will note that it's a very familiar tune. It's the Welsh lullaby of "Sleep, My Child, and Peace Attend Thee All Through the Night." So please stand.
View the present. Despite the deepening darkness, Christ will come again. Lift the world above its grieving through your watching and believing in the hope past hopes conceiving. Christ will come again. Present with the promise, Christ will come again. Let your daily actions witness, Christ will come again. Let your loving and your giving and your justice and forgiving be a sign to all the living, Christ will come again. Match the present to the promise, Christ will come again. Make this hope your guiding premise, Christ will come again. Pattern all your calculating and the world you are creating to the advent you are waiting. Christ will come again.
Please be seated. And as Barbara said earlier, we did a little editing this morning, so please don't think that something has been overlooked or that a mistake has been made. It's very intentional as we now continue with our time of prayer and reflection. If you would like your prayer request, which is, as Barbara said, on the yellow sheet, if you would like your prayer request read as a part of our worship, please pass your prayer slip to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. And you can feel free to be a singer or a listener as we begin our prayer time, asking God to walk with us. Let us be together in prayer as we first have a time of silence, and then I will offer a spoken prayer which I have adapted from Reverend Rex Hunt of Australia, and then we will speak the Lord's Prayer together. Let us be in prayer. God of all seasons, all moods, of all people, of each other, may we be lifted into a new mood to be, as Paul was, part of a new way of being in the world. Touch us again that we will know that we are accepted, that we are affirmed, someone of worth, and that those who have been named can feel our prayers. We are trying to move away from believing that there can be reconciliation without justice, justice without understanding, and understanding without standing in the shoes of the other. May we be reminded that we can use our influence, that we can raise our voices, that we can fill governments, public galleries, attend parent-teacher conferences, send emails, voicemails, letters, gather in the streets, in offices, and in churches, and that we can rise together on behalf of all creatures who live in tree, cave, village, hive, city, river, ocean, suburb, glacier, forest, that we can stand up on behalf of all we love and all that are a part of your world. This day we also take time to look around, to look beyond ourselves, beyond words and roles, beyond past hurts and future worries, to embrace those who are hurting, those who suffer indignities or illness, or harmed or harmful relationships, or unhealthy patterns of being. May we be prompted to be more expansive, more inclusive, as we accept our responsibility to make God's reign visible. This is our prayer. Now, as a community, let us together pray the prayer that we learned from Jesus. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We come to a time when we are all welcome at the table. We have an open table in the United Methodist Church, so know that all are welcome to participate as they are ready and able. Today we have gluten-free bread only, and it comes from one loaf so that we all share from the same bread. We also have grape juice only, so that all might share in the cup. When it comes time, we'll have two stations up here, one at the end of each aisle. The first person you'll come to will have bread, and the next, you take one of those, and they'll say something to you, and you can respond with amen. And then you have a choice. You can either take that piece of bread and dip it into the big cup, or you can eat the bread and then go skip the big cup and go to the little cup and drink of the little cup. And when the person talks to you there, you also can respond with amen. If you take a little cup, there's a basket for your empty cup. And then we ask that you just go around the outside of the church near the beautiful windows and find your seat. All right, so here we go. One of the most creative things Jesus did in his ministry was to draw people into fellowship around a meal. His actions were out of the box in terms of who he dined with. Perhaps he sensed that when the food and drink is filling our bodies, people's guard come down just a little bit, and they see their common humanity in their common hungry tummies. Perhaps it is a good model for us to think about how church could sometimes get out of the box we put it in. So we come to the table to be reminded of this radical, hospitable, creative Jesus that we follow. And we follow his example, welcoming all who are hungry for love, for fellowship, for connection, for inspiration, for new life. God be with you.
And I'll
lift up your spirits in celebration of God's love. We lift them up to God. Let us give thanks and praise. And you can say, we put ourselves all in. We put ourselves all in. God set in motion the grandest creativity project of all. Light where there was no light. Waters and land, creatures on foot and wing, beauty and laughter, and God called it good. Out of that goodness, we came, imbued with the gifts of the Creator. We were invited to begin our lives of creating, making, building, planting, crafting, fashioning. Sometimes we got sidetracked and forgot this true calling. We destroyed instead of built up. But you, God, kept repairing our lives, calling us again into the joy of relationship with you. And so we proclaim our praise with the saints of all time and place. Repeat after me. Holy, holy creating God. Everywhere we see your glory. Blessed are they who are drawn in, singing the heart song of love. Your creativity knows no bounds. And no, you don't have to repeat that. And in the fullness of time, you came to us fashioned in our own flesh and blood. In sending Jesus, you created human and holy connection. and showed us what love looks like in public. Preaching good news to the poor, proclaiming release to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, setting at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus promised to continue this work through a new covenant of creativity, sending his Spirit to remain and move in us and through us. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He broke it. He gave thanks to you, O God, and then he gave it to his disciples. And then when the meal was over, he took the cup and he said, "This is a cup of the new covenant." And he gave thanks to you, O God, and he shared it with all of his disciples. And so, what shall we do? We're going to repeat after me again. We will break ourselves open. We will pour ourselves out in food for the hungry and love for the stranger, just as Christ offered all. So too shall we. We will rise to new life and commit to create. Okay, that's the end of repeating. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in this moment so that we might know your presence and power in our lives. Make us one so that we can co-create your reign on earth as it is in heaven. Let this bread and fruit of the vine fill us with your Spirit for the work and play of loving creation and each other fully. Amen. And so I'd ask that my servers come forward. And in a moment, the ushers will invite friends to come from the pew forward. Will you pray with me? Holy, hospitable God, we give you thanks for what you have created in this moment of our sharing. More connection to you in answering Jesus' invitation to the table. More connection to each other as we shared in the common elements. And more connection to the world as we made our vows to share this abundant grace in the world. Amen.
What does it mean to be in God's kingdom, a place where we are all kin or family, to come on earth as it is in heaven? The audio on the first half of Cindy's story that was viewed on Easter was pretty bad, we've been told, and people couldn't really hear the story. And so work has been done on the audio, and we've decided to show it again. So for our story today, let's watch Cindy.
So how has this church affected your life?
Well, I guess I'll start with, I moved to the neighborhood about 5 years ago. I was at a really low point in my life. I had just lost my son 6 months prior. I was just on a road of no return. I didn't see light. All I saw was darkness. And I was drinking heavily. That was my outlet. All negative, of course, broken relationships, in and out, intimate ones, with one person, but back and forth. One day, I don't know, I was out walking, my little dog, came across the church at Genesee and University. We had stopped at the light, and it's something just drew me, the structure of the church or something just drew me to it. I was reading the sign out front for the hours of worship, and there was a quote at the bottom, drew me there, and I was fixed on it for a couple of minutes, and then I was like, wow, you know, and I went back home. I finished my walk and went back home. But something stuck with me about the 11:30 service. It was the caption at the bottom of the hour. So I visited, and I needed that sermon that day. For some reason, I was really down and out. I started coming sporadically. I not as often, but I was popped in. And each time, I got something fulfilling. One day, I was really down and out, and I said, I got to get to church. And they had a little slip, and it asks you your needs, and it asks if you need to speak to the pastor. And I was like, yes, I do. I finally got an appointment, and I found it strange that I was able to really open up, because I'm not one to just, you know, open up about my past or what's going on with me. I'm a very introvert type person. I just keep everything inside. I don't share. You know, I was seeing therapists and a psychiatrist, but I wasn't getting anything from that. Well, the pastor, she let me talk about all of that. She didn't say much. If anything, she just wanted to listen. And that's what I needed, someone to just listen, you know, because when you go to therapists, they ask you questions, and it's like you can't get out what you want to say for yourself. But this woman, Pastor Alicia, just let me talk. And I found that it was just like weights off my shoulder. Weights off my shoulder.
Well, it didn't quite get corrected in a way, so I do apologize for the challenge with the audio, and I do thank Cindy for sharing her story. And I think in spite of the challenging audio, we do realize that lives are being changed here, and we do realize that it's happening every day, and we open our doors to every person. And all are truly welcome. And so if we can take that away from the audio, then probably we're doing okay. Our family has been gathering at this place for 150 years. And simply by being here this morning, you now are a part of this living tradition. And giving is a way that we recognize the source of all that we have and a way for us to keep our family healthy. And so we do have this time in our worship service where a collection is taken up and also an opportunity to enter your attendance here. The yellow slip looks like this, and the ushers will be coming forward, and Dennis Triggs, our organist, will be playing Shepherd Me, O God, arranged by Charles Callahan. Let us pray together. God of great gifts, today we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you thanks. With resurrection humming in our hearts, our minds are tuned to your song of peace, we joyfully present these gifts to you, a tangible chorus of thanksgiving, a harmony of hope for your kingdom come. Amen. Before we go into our final hymn, I just want to make a note that the slide that was on the screen during the offertory, maybe some of your hearts were touched because that was a photo from the stained glass windows at our friend's James Street Church. So James Street, that was your home. But we're glad your home is here now. Perhaps we each, like Paul, have a Damascus road that we've been following. Without reflection, God isn't interested in the past. Jesus did not chastise Paul. He just tells Paul, get up and enter the city and you will be told what you are to do. And Paul listened. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 310, He Lives.
May the peace of God, which exceeds all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.